So you're listening to Avin Mechazar with Daniel Eisenberg from Seches Pesachim, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. I'm going to start at the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph by Vehatanya. Well, actually, before Vehatanya, we'll go one line earlier. We're trying to understand the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And what we try to suggest his Shita is, V'chol hecha debadda b'nei lo gazar Rabbi Yehuda. That maybe Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that anything that someone is distanced from, let's say, I'll say naturally, but I mean, obviously, it's out of habit and out of realization of halacha and acceptance of halacha, meaning someone is used to distancing themselves from, so there wasn't a need to put a gzeira in place, right? When it comes to chametz. So, someone's not usually used to being away from chametz, so you need to impose a gezeirah. In other areas of halacha, you wouldn't. But is that true? V'hotanya, but we learned in a braisa, b'chor sha'achzu dam. So you have a b'chor of an animal that is seized by blood. Afilu hu meis, even if it's going to die, ein makizin lo dam. You cannot do bloodletting. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, right, so Rashi helps us out over here. Rashi points out that Bechor, right, four lines to the bottom in Rashi, Asur lahatil bo mum. You're not allowed to make a mum on a Bechor animal, right? There, that's brought to the Kohen. Right, like it's like Bikurim. It's like Bechor and Bikurim is the same halacha, just one's for animals and one's for... One is for plants, but it's the firstborn or the first fruits, and that goes to the Kohen. So, vafil ligrom, and even to cause a mum. And now over here, why are we going to cause a mum? Well, you would want to bloodlet it. So you want to make a cut on it that will cause it to let its blood to go, and this will prevent it from dying. So are you allowed to do that? So Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein makizin lo dam, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. You're not allowed to do it. V'chacham omrim, yakiz ubilvad shelo yatil bo mum. That you're allowed to, you're allowed to be makiz it. You can do bloodletting.
Is there a wipes in here?
So it says you're allowed to do bloodletting, but you're not. You're allowed to do bloodletting. But you have to make sure you don't cause a mum in the bloodletting. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to do bloodletting because it might cause, because you might end up causing a mum to take place. Meaning, not all bloodletting is going to cause a mum. There are certain things that are considered a mum, a certain cut to its lip, a damage to its eye, something like that. Not all attempts to do bloodletting will cause a mum. Rabbi Yehuda bans it all. And the Chachamim say, Yaki Zubilva Shalu Yatav Mum. You obviously can't make a mum, but you can at least do bloodletting in another way. So what does it look like? It looks like Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, is concerned over here. But we thought that Rabbi Yehuda would not be gozer if it's something that he's naturally removed from, and typically someone's removed from making a mum. So, on an animal. So why is Rabbi Yehuda all of a sudden concerned here? Right? Rashi says the last line, take a look at it. Va'afal gav de kodshim ha'kol bedilin mehen. It's machlokas Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda, but it's kodshim. Right, so it's a machlokas, but this is kodshim, which someone is typically very careful about not violating. So we would think that Rabbi Yehuda would not be concerned over here. So the Gemara answers no. Ha'sa mitoch sha'adam bahul al... Mamono, this is a principle that we have. Someone's bahul amamono. They're like very, not bewildered, but like very like concerned and distracted, and worried about their money, their property. So amrinan we say ishari slei b'makom she'in osin b'mum asti l'mabim b'makom she'osin b'mum. Right. So what's the principle? That someone is so concerned about his property and that his animal is going to die. So we say, "Im shiris le b'makom she'enosin b'mum, asin enavad b'makom she'osin b'mum." We're concerned that if you allow him to do this, he's going to do the other thing as well. The Rabbanan, but the Rabbanan disagree, and they say, "Kol shekein di'ilo shiris le klal asin le'mavad." That they say, listen, if you don't let him do this, he's going to be so concerned about his animal dying, right? His cow is going to die if he doesn't do bloodletting right now. So in order to make sure that it doesn't die, he's going to do whatever he can, and it might cause a mum. So better to find a mutter way for him to do it. Let him be makis. Let him do bloodletting and not cause a mum, rather than completely ban all attempts to see the animal, and then he's going to violate it anyway. So this is the machlokas. So it's not, meaning it doesn't really, it's not really in discussion about if we're concerned, if we're concerned about things that he's usually batal from. Over here, he's bahul amamono, and Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham are guided by this principle of being bahul amamono, and they just apply differently. One set, right, that Rabbi Yehuda says, is bahul amamono. We can't let him. We have to keep him far away because we're so concerned that he's so caught up in the financial loss. But the Chacham say no. We have to give him a way out over here. Now the Gemara asks questions. Hold on. Umi Amrina and the Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Bahu Al Mamono. Wait, does Rabbi Yehuda really hold of this principle that he's Bahu Al Mamono? That like we're masters such a thing. Well, it's not. But we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Mekadrin Abahema. We are not Mekader Abahema B'Yom Tov. Mekader is a certain type of like combing it. The Gemara is going to explain a little bit later on. It's going to elaborate on this, but we have this brisa that says that there's that being Mekadrin. Rashi says Istradalir. If that helps anybody, but it means like taking a sharp metal comb and combing the animal, getting dirt out of the fur of the animal, the hair of the animal, and getting maybe could be some bugs also. But what happens when you use a metal comb is that sometimes you can make a wound, which is obviously an av malacha of shchita. So let's see. So you're allowed to be Mekadrin on Yom Tov. Ein Mekadrin Abayim on Yom Tov. Meneshe hu osa chabura, because it makes a chabura. Av Mekartsefin, but you're allowed to be Mekartsef, which is basically with a different type of comb. That's going to be it's like a smaller comb. Rashi says, and the Gemara is going to show us a little bit. The Chacham Omrim Ein Mekadrin Af Ein Mekartzefin. The Chacham disagree and they say, no, you can't be Mekadrin and you can't be Mekartzefin. V'tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Ezehu Kidor V'Ezehu Kartzuf. What's the difference between Kidor and Kartzuf? Kidor Ketanin V'Osin Chabura. So Kidor is if there's like smaller, teeth of the comb, and it's going to be cause of Chabura. Kartzuf Gedolim, those are bigger, teeth of the comb, but ain't osin chabura. So over here, this larger comb, the chachamim will allow. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda is allows us to be makartzef, right? Yeah, the Chacham, right, yeah, so he allows it to be Mekartzef, but shouldn't he be Bohol al Mamono? And shouldn't he be concerned that the guy is going to get so caught up because he doesn't want his animal to suffer, and he might get so caught up instead of being Mekartzef with the larger, less dangerous comb, he's going to be doing it with the smaller comb, the more dangerous one, Mekadrin, and he'll get caught up because he's Bohol al Mamono. But that's not what Rabbi Yehuda says over here. Therefore, we see, seemingly, that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of this principle of he'll be Bohol al Mamono and go crazy with this animal. So the Gemara says, no, really, that's not true. Hasam di'ishavik le'mayis, over there, in the case of the bloodletting of the Bechor, if you leave it, it's going to die. So I'm reading Bahal Amamono. That's when Rabbi Yehuda applies the concept of Bahal Amamono. Hacha ishavik le sarah ba'almahu lo amrinan adon Bahal Amamono. But over here, in this case, we're talking about the case of the combing the animal. It's not going to die. And because it's not going to die if you don't comb it properly or with a strong enough comb or whatever it is, so we don't think he's going to be Bahal Amamono and switch from being Makartzef to Mekader. We're not concerned that that's going to happen. At least Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned that that's going to happen. And therefore, he would not say Bahal Amamono. So he says Bahal Amamono maybe in a case where the animal is going to die. If the animal is not going to die, we don't assume he says Bahal Amamono and he doesn't make such a gzera to prevent someone from going crazy. Rabbi Yehuda, Maishna Gavi Chametz de Gazar, Maishna Gavi Kartzuf de Lo Gazar. Well, we have wise that Rabbi Yehuda made a gzera when it came to Chametz, but he didn't make one regarding being a Kartzuf, doing Kartzuf instead of, right? He said he allows Kartzuf, he doesn't allow Kidur. But why isn't he Gozer Kartzuf Atu Kidur? So lechem belechem michlaf, kidur bekartzuf lo michlaf. He says because chametz and matzah are bread and bread, it's easy to mix those things up, but a person is not going to mix up being makadr and being makartzef. Why not? I don't know. Could be, someone's usually, they start the process with one comb and they stick with that to the end. I don't know how it was done. It just felt like a very different process. But Rabbi Yehuda didn't think that's something that people would come to mix up easily. However, chametz and matzah, you're eating chametz in the morning. You're used to eating chametz. You have matzah in a little bit, and you might mix it up. So he was concerned about that. And Rashi says, "Lo michlav rabbanan savri michlav." But the rabbanan are concerned that he's going to be machlif by kartzuf and kidur, and that's why they answer both. Okay, new Mishnah. Masnisan Rabbi Meir Omer Uchlim Kol Chamesh Vesorfin Betchila Sheish. So Rabbi Meir says that you're allowed to eat all of the fifth hour, meaning all of the fifth hour you're allowed to eat chametz, and you do a sreifa at the beginning of the sixth hour, right? We've seen this before, right? Rashi says, Va'af Agav Dekol Shishis Midyaraisa. Sharia, that even though midiraisa you're allowed to eat in the sixth all of the sixth hour, goes rabbanon ala, the rabbanon made gzira dilma toy v'savar ala shvius. Maybe right, the shvius is when it's usher. Maybe you're going to get mixed up at the sixth and the seventh hour. Shehi shishis, I think it's shishis. Aval achamishis lo toy lameimar ala shvius shehi chamishis umutar. Right, no one's going to think that the fifth hour is the seventh hour, right? The seventh hour is where it's usher. And you might say, okay, he'll be off by an hour, but we don't assume he'll be off by 2 hours. And therefore, midrabanan, it's usher from the sixth hour and on. And Rabbi Meir holds, you're allowed to eat all of the fifth hour, the sixth hour you have to stop. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ochlin Kol Arba, you're allowed to eat up until four hours of the day. Vitolin Kol Chamesh, and you kind of hang in the balance for the fifth hour. And you don't eat then. V'sorfin betchila sheish, and you start burning at the beginning of the sixth hour. So there's 1 hour where you don't have the shreifa yet, but you're not doing but you're not eating it during that time. Rashi says, "Ve'eino ochel z'toy v'savar al shvius shehi chamishis." We're concerned that maybe he'll confuse the seventh, the fifth hour. Miu lisrof eno tzarech, but you don't need to burn at this point. Umachel lebhemto, and at this point also you're still allowed to own the chametz, and you're still allowed to feed it to your animal. Umiu lisavashishus af bahana asher midrabanan gzera mishum shvius. But once it gets to the sixth hour, you can't benefit from it. You can't even feed it to your animal. At that point, it's asher. That's our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ochlin Kol Arba, Vitolin Kol Chamesh. Sorry, just write that. V'sarfim Tzikah Shesh. V'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda, and also Rabbi Yehuda said, Shtei Chalos Shel Todah Psulos, Munachos Al Gava Itztaba. So Erev Pesach, there were two chalos, two loaves of Karban Todah. Karban Todah famously has a quarter of the loaves are chametz, and they would take two of the loaves that were of the chametz of a carbon todah, that was pasul. It's pasul, therefore you can't eat it, so this is what they used it for. They would place it on top of an istaba, like some sort of a platform, a stand. All the time that these loaves are placed there, it was a big stand, I guess, big public area, people were able to see. If they would see two loaves of carbon todah placed there, the whole nation would eat. Nitla achas, when one was removed, right, meaning that there's probably a kohen or someone who, appointed by the town who was in charge, he would remove one of them. Tolin velo ochlin. So people knew, I only see one. They knew that they can't, they don't have to burn it yet, but they can't eat it. They can feed it to their animals, they can leave it around, but they can't eat it. Velo sarfin. Nitlu shtehen, when they would see the itztaba didn't have any chalas left on it, Ischilu kol am sarf, and everyone would start doing a big beer chametz. They would go to the big park, and see the fire engines and do the beer chametz then. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, chulin nechalin kol arba. So chulin meaning non sacred chametz. They would eat all of the fourth hour. V'truma kol chamesh, and truma, which was chametz, we're talking about, right? Chametz truma, they would eat all of the fifth hour, v'sorf and b'chila shesh, and then they would burn at the beginning of the sixth. Because, in general, we don't like burning truma, if you don't have to. So, Rabbi Gamliel allowed you, even during the fifth hour, to, and it looks like, over here, that he would really hold that you can't, meaning like Rabbi Yehuda, that you should be tolin, right, not do anything during the fifth hour. But for truma, it sounds like there's an exception, so you wouldn't be mafsid truma and be sorry of truma necessarily. And then the sixth hour, it's already too late. You got to burn your chametz then, so even if it's truma, you'd burn it. Okay. Start the Mishnah. It's non-hustle. We went to the Mishnah over there. Okay. So before we start this Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. This Mishnah is... there's a whole discussion. It's building up to a big question. We're not going to see the question until Yud Beis Amud Beis. So we're going to quote this Mishnah in Sanhedrin, analyze it, discuss it, have fun with it, enjoy, compare, and then finally on Yud Beis Amud Beis, we're going to say, and the reason we brought this is because we want to compare this to our Mishnah that we just mentioned. So it's going to have a little bit of a digression for a little bit, so let's do some Sanhedrin. San Hasam, Echad Omer Bishnayim B'chodesh, Echad Omer Bishlosha. So one person says it took place on the second of the month, and the other one says no, it took place on the third of the month. Right? What do you do? So Rashi says, Echad Omer Bishnayim B'chodesh, Harag Zes Hanefesh. Plony killed the victim. The Echad Min Ha'edim Omer Bishlosha B'chodesh, and the other aid says it was the third of the month. Okay, so that's the problem, right? One says he killed him on Beis Tammuz, and then they ask his partner, he killed him on Gimel Tammuz. Uh-oh. So what do you do? Right? If two aidim come in with opposite testimonies or different testimonies, throw him out of court, right? Maybe. So we'll see. So Edusan Kayemes. Whoa. We accept it. Reuven killed Shimon on the second of the Tammuz. Reuven killed Shimon on the third Tammuz. We don't say that they contradict each other. Why not? Listen, it's the beginning of the month, and even maybe even if it's not the beginning of the month, and they one person knew about Rosh Chodesh, one didn't. One person now is going to find out, like, oh my gosh, I missed Halal and Musa. You know, okay, but he didn't know, and. Actually, no, he probably still did it. He just didn't realize it was a two-day Rosh Chodesh or whatever. There's, this is me borrowing modern terminology, really. It's what was the Mekadesh, the moon, and the 29th, the 30th. But anyway, it's not, we don't say based on this discrepancy that they're making up the story. We just say that they themselves are lacking some just worldly details. Echad Omer Bishlosha, Echad Omer Behei. But if one says it was the third of the month, and the other says it was the fifth of the month, Edusan Batela. That, we say that discrepancy is too much, throw him out of court. Echad Omer b'shtei sha'os, ve'echad Omer b'shlosh sha'os. One said it was 2 hours into the day. The other says, no, it was 3 hours into the day. Edusim kayemes. Their edus is good. Echad Omer b'shlosh, ve'echad Omer b'chamesh, edusim b'teila. But if they're 2 hours off, one says it's three, one says it's five, so that, say, no, we can't make a mistake. We're going to keep in mind, they didn't have watches, they were probably looking at the, you know, I don't know if they had, no, I guess they had sundials, yeah, they definitely had sundials at this time, and looking at the patterns of the sky. But over here, if you're 2 hours off, then Edus is about to divir meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Edusim Kayemes. Rabbi Yehuda actually accepts that as well. B'mizra, Echad Omer B'chamesh, Ve'echad Omer B'sheva, Edusim B'teila. But Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if it wasn't 3 and 5, but he says it was 5 hours into the day, and this one says 7 hours into the day, 7 hours is past Chatzos, because Chatzos is 6 hours into the day. B'teila, why? Sheba Chamesh, Chama B'mizrach, U'B'sheva, Chama B'marav. Because the sun is in a different position. Meaning, I'm okay, says Rabbi Yehuda, with saying that a person can make a mistake by an hour, even by 2 hours. Well, we'll see what that means. Well, really, it may not be 2 full hours, but 1 hour or 2 hours. That, you know, people can make a mistake. But to say that the sun is in a different position in the sky, that this is pre-Chatzos, this is post-Chatzos, this is Mizrach, it's a Marav, so that we can't accept. That'll throw him out of court. Okay. Now, Omar Abaye. So Abaye comments on this. Now Abaye is going to try to analyze, and we're going to have a two-gersos of what Abaye says, but his understanding of this machlokas. Kishatim Salomar Ledivrei Rebbe Meir. When it comes out that to say that, according to Rebbe Meir, Ein Adam Toa Velo Klum. People don't make mistakes. Rebbe Meir is assuming that people are basically always on point. And if somebody says something in court that it sounds like, oh, you know, so we don't assume he made a mistake, we assume he's a liar. You throw him out. Ledivrei Rebbe Yehuda Adam Toa Chatzi Sha'a. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, a person can make a half-hour mistake, half-hour error. And we'll see that soon. So let's analyze this piece. What, according to Rabbi Meir, we say that people don't make mistakes. Maisa kihava b'meipak tarti. Because according to Rabbi Meir's understanding, so the story in question, meaning it's a theoretical story, the case that we brought in the Mishnah. It was at the end, the leaving of the second hour, and it's the beginning of the third hour. Meaning that we're calling it the same time. There's some, like, you know, amorphous end of second hour, beginning of third hour time. The ha dikamar shtayim. Right? Because Remeir, what did he say in the Mishnah? Remeir said that he seemed to allow you an hour leeway. Abaye's like, no, he doesn't lend you an hour leeway. He actually lends you zero leeway. You have no room to make a mistake. Remeir just holds that the end of the second hour and the beginning of the third hour are basically the same. Again, they're not using watches. They don't have, you know, digital, you know, watch. They don't. So the end of the second hour, beginning of the third hour, potatoes. It's really all the same. And therefore, if one person phrases it in one way, oh, it was in the second hour, and one of them says no, one says it was in the third hour, they're saying the same thing. He means the end of the second hour. He's saying the beginning of the third hour. No one made a mistake, and we still don't assume they're lying because they're just using two different terms to refer to the same time. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Toa Chatzi Shah. How do we see that? How do we see that Rabbi Yehuda? Remember, Rabbi Yehuda allowed 2 hour leeway. Even 2 hour leeway, as long as the sun is not in a different position. But Abaye is calling it a half hour. Maisa ki hava bepalga da arba hava. Because let's see. Well, the event in question, the case took place halfway through the fourth hour. V'hai dekamar shalosh, and he said 3 in the third hour. B'sof shalosh v'katay palga d'shata l'kameh. Right, so he says So he said it's the third hour. So it's really the end of the third hour, which is like the beginning of the one that's following it. The Haidik Amar Chamesh, and the guy who said this is the fifth hour, Betchilas Chamesh V'Katay Palga D'Shata L'Chore. And so he's saying, so really it's at the end of the, halfway through the previous hour before it. So basically, right, so when he says three, and he says five, so really it's happened in the fourth hour, and he gives you a half hour leeway, and the fourth hour, it's in within an hour of it, it's with, right, it's within an hour of the fourth hour. He says three, he says five, figure out the math after, and then, and basically, he allows you about a half hour margin of error before he says, you're a liar, throw you out of court. But, of course, if the sun is in the wrong position, Rabbi Yehuda says, absolutely, throw him out of court. That's one way, that about that one way, to, that one gears of Abaye understanding the machlokes. You could Amri, there are those who say the following, not so far off. Amar Abaye, kishitim sulamar ledivere meir, adam toa mashahu, ledivere Rabbi Yehuda, adam toa sha'a umashahu. So, one he says, no, Rabbi Meir holds that we allow a very slight margin of error, a mashahu, a margin of error. L'divrei Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda holds an hour and a mashahu. L'divrei Rabbi Meir, adam toa mashahu. So how do we see that Rabbi Meir holds a mashahu? Remember, Rabbi Meir says, if he says two and he says three, that's fine. So the way we originally explained it, well, let's see this here. So Maisa Kihava, the Maisa took place, O Besov Shtayim Hava, O Betchila Shlosh Hava. It either took place at the beginning of the end of the second hour or the beginning of the third hour, whatever it is. It was close. I'm sorry, what's the place? Zoom told me we have 10 minutes, but we'll be done in less than 10. But we're at this point of Zoom now. I'm sorry. Tov shalat mashu l'divrei Meir. Adam tov mashu ma'isel kiyav obesov shtayim obetchila shlosh. V'chad minayu tove mashu. And one of them is making a mistake, a mashu. Rav Meir over here does not assume like we assumed Abaye was assuming, Rav Meir assumed before, which is that, it's a lot of assumptions, that Rav Meir held that the end of the second to the beginning of the third are basically one time, and both of them are correct. Just a slight nuance over here. It's that, no, both of them are close, one of them is correct, one of them is off by a smidge, and that's okay. So it's slightly different, right? It either happened at the end of the second or the beginning of the third, not both. One of them is accurate, one of them is off by a little, and we allow a mashu margin of error. That's another way that we might see Abaye understanding Rav Meir. The Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Toa Sha'a Umashu. He says, no, a person can err by a full hour and a little bit more. Why? Maisa Kihava O Besov Shlosh O Betchilas Chamesh. Because the Maisa happened, it was either the beginning of the, it was either the end of the third or the beginning of the fifth. V'chad minayu kate Sha'a Umashu. And one person, not kate, katoi was making a mistake by an hour and a mashu, right? So it either happened at the end of the third or the beginning of or the beginning of the fifth, and you have a full hour off plus that extra mashu, and that is the second way to understand this this machlokas between Rav Meir and the Yehuda. Whereby I understood it, and then the Gemara is going to challenge it, and as I said, it's going to be analyzing this Mishnah up until Yud Beis Amud Beis, where we finally bring it back to our Mishnah. Okay, Shkayach.